Further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with, and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Sergeant will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Carol Tomer from Pilgrim Lutheran Church in St. Paul. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Holy One, we remember that on this very day, 150 years ago, Abraham Lincoln was shot. He was only 56 years old. He once had said, "Sometimes I think I am the tiredest man on earth." And he reminded us, "Fellow citizens, we cannot escape history. O divine ground of our being, we pray today for your guidance for these senators and Senate staff members gathered here this day. In the days and weeks of this session, give these servant leaders strength and daily renewal for their callings, that even when they become tired, they might find resilience and energy to keep on keeping on, making wise decisions as great leaders before them have in each year and century, strengthening our common good. As we give thanks today for the witness of Abraham Lincoln, help these servant leaders gathered here to commit themselves anew each day to peace, to malice and violence toward none, and to being taught by history while always being beckoned toward a new future marked by ever greater liberty and justice for all, and ever greater equality and wholeness for all. O God, how many years will we each have for the sacred tasks and callings you have set before us, for the opportunities to make a difference? 47? 56? We know not the length of our days, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. For by your grace, we live and move and have our being. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rood, Saxhog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the eighth order of business, introduction, first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. These are author's motion, which will be adopted as one motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Hayden.
Good. Well, thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate file 19.
Just a minute, Senator Hayden. Once again, members, please keep the noise down. Senator Hayden.
Thanks again, Madam President. I move that Senate file 1966, which happens to be my birth date year, be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Human Service, and Housing, and re-referred to Finance. It is my bill, and I've talked to both chairs, and they're fine with it.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye.
Madam President.
I'm sorry. Senator Benson.
Madam President, if Senator Hayden would please explain to us when the bill was introduced, what its topic is, and why it has no health policy provisions.
Senator Hayden.
Well, Madam Chair, this is a bill from Hennepin County for contract beds. It's existing policy. It's a new funding mechanism.
Senator Benson.
Madam President, I have a copy of the bill here. It was introduced on March 25th. Is it the normal order of the Senate that late introductions merely skip policy committees and go to finance committees?
Senator Hayden, is that a question for me?
Madam President, I meant to ask Senator Hayden to yield to that question.
Senator Hayden will yield. Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam President, and Senator Benson. You know, what I understand about it is that it is not new policy, which we didn't need to grapple or wrestle with in the policy committee. It really is a finance bill. And so that was the conversation that I had with the chairs, and they were comfortable with that. So that, you know, the precedence of this one way or the other, I guess we can debate that. However, that was the conversation that I had with the chairs of the committee.
Senator Benson.
And Madam President, the floor at this point is not an appropriate place to debate this policy, but given the amount of work that the policy committee has done on mental health and how we allocate resources, this is allowing additional beds beyond, allowing additional days beyond 45 days based on the absence of appropriate level of care. Madam President, we've been working very hard to ensure there is an appropriate level of care. I believe this is a policy provision, with all due respect to Senator Hayden, Senator Sharon, and the members of the Finance Committee. I think this should be reviewed in policy. I oppose this motion.
Is there any more discussion on the Hayden motion? Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. If Senator Hayden would yield, I have a question.
Senator Hayden, will you yield?
Yes.
He will yield. Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. The question that I have is, as a matter of policy, is it a good idea to change the funding mechanism?
Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam President. And Senator Nenow, I don't know if that was a let me just be I think if we want to debate the actual bill, we could continue to do that. I think that we were looking at this bill, and once again, and working with the chairs of each committee, it appeared that there wasn't significant policy change, but there definitely was changes in the fiscal side of it. And once again, that is the reason for the motion.
Senator Nenow.
Thank you, Madam President. With all respect, the good senator did not answer my question. And if he would like to jump in and give it a second try, I would be more than willing to yield to that. But my question was, as a matter of policy, is it a good idea to change the funding mechanism? The maker of the motion said that this is a change in the funding mechanism. My question was, is that a good policy or not? And why is it a good policy, the presumption being that it is? To the point of Senator Benson's motion or argument that this has policy implications. Clearly, it's a fiscal implication. But the question of how we fund it, what mechanism, is a question of policy. Clearly, that's a policy question. And Madam President, I'm done with my comments. I will sit down if you want to recognize Senator Hayden. He wants to readdress my question. I would be more than willing to listen to that.
Senator Hayden, or should I go to Senator Benson?
Well, why don't you go to Senator Benson? It appears that maybe Senator Nenow and I have a difference of opinion, and so if that's the way that he feels, I respect that. As a colleague, I would once again just renew my motion. However, it appears that Senator Benson has more questions about this.
Senator Benson.
Madam President, I'm merely requesting a roll call.
Roll call requested. Roll call granted.
I mean, you got it.
Is there any more discussion on the Hayden motion? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll on the Hayden motion. This requires 41 votes.
Well, it's good to remember, so.
All members having voted that desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. Oh, secretary will knock.
Did you close the roll?
Now, all members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 36 ayes and 22 nays, the motion does not prevail. It requires 41 votes. The motion does not prevail. The next motion, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that Senate File 706 be withdrawn from the Committee on Finance, given a second reading, and placed on general orders. Madam President, members, Senate 706 is the foster care licensing, home and community-based services standards, and disability waiver rate systems provisions modification. There is no fiscal note to it. And it's been approved to be sent to the floor to general orders by both chairs of policy and finance. Thank you.
On the Rosen motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate File 706 will be given its second reading. Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that Senate File 1012 be withdrawn on the Committee of Finance and given its second reading and placed on general orders. Madam Chair, this bill is a policy that was passed out our policy committee, doesn't have a fiscal impact, and so speaking to the chair, we ask that this be sent to general orders.
Is there any discussion? On the motion then, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senate File 1012 will be given its second reading. Senate Resolution 132 and 133 will be referred to the Committee on Rules. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills. We made special orders for immediate consideration. And members, there are three of them, and the list is on your desk.
The first bill under consideration is number 77 on the general orders calendar, Senate File 1741, Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam President and members. A little background on Senate File 1741. Medical debt is a serious and growing problem in America and Minnesota that places thousands of Minnesotans and their families in financial jeopardy. Medical debt is the number one cause of personal bankruptcy. Medical debt is responsible for more collections than credit cards. In fact, according to the collections industry's own data, more than 40% of Americans report being burdened with medical debt. There is a handout on your desk from the Atlantic that talks about why Americans are drowning in medical debt. And so we believe it's in everyone's best interest to get eligible patients into either charity care or a hospital payment plan before the amount owed becomes a mark on the patient's credit and makes the financial road much harder. The bill, quite simply, as we read the opening in Section 1A, any patient may bring an action to enjoin extraordinary collection actions taken by a nonprofit hospital if the hospital has failed to provide a plain language summary of the financial assistance policy. A prevailing patient is entitled to reasonable attorney fees and costs only if they win. Some of those extraordinary collection actions would be a medical lien, foreclosure on a patient's home, garnishing of wages, freezing of bank accounts, suing the patient, or selling the debt to a debt buyer. This bill simply gives the individual Minnesotan the right to enforce that rule, which was passed by the IRS, went into effect this past December, in a Minnesota court and get an injunction to stop any of those collection actions. There'd be no monetary penalties assessed, no damages, no civil fines. However, if the patient proves a violation of the law, the patient would be entitled to, again, reasonable attorney fees only if they win. There's no public opposition to this bill, and I want to thank the Minnesota Hospital Association and the Minnesota Association of Collectors for constructively helping to craft this particular bill. I will stand for any questions.
Are there any questions or amendments? Seeing no further or no discussion on the bill, the Secretary will give Senate File 1741 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1741, a bill for an act relating to health, allowing a patient to enjoin collection actions taken by a nonprofit hospital.
Secretary will take the roll. All members voting that desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill under consideration is number 124 on general orders, Senate File 1081, Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 1081 is a public safety bill setting up a reporting mechanism for identifying and counting untested sexual assault test kits in Minnesota. A sexual assault kit or rape kit is a medical kit that's used to collect evidence from the body and clothing of a victim of rape or sexual assault. These kits, when tested by crime labs, have proven vital to successful investigations and prosecutions of sexual assault crimes and for holding perpetrators accountable. New legislation at the federal level has brought some and shown light on a problem in regards to forensic compliance of untested sexual assault kits. Examples are the Debbie Smith Act and the Sexual Assault Forensic Evidence Registry Act. We can't be sure of the total number of untested kits nationwide, but most jurisdictions do not have a system in place for tracking and counting these kits. So what this bill does is it requires the state of Minnesota to take the very first step by having each forensic science division, our laboratory that tests these kits, the sheriff departments, the chief of police, prepare and submit a written report to the superintendent that then can identify the number of untested rape kits in the possession of that agency or department, the date the evidence was collected, and then we've also asked them to indicate why it had not been tested. There are further efforts that need to happen once we do this. Situations like if they're getting the evidence at the hospital, where do we store it? How do we notify victims? So you could be asking yourself, why not take the next step and actually test these kits? Well, as a state, local jurisdictions have begun to process previously untested rape kits, and there have been questions about how do we engage the survivors whose cases haven't been looked at for years, sometimes they're decades old. So until we figure out a way that's compassionate, effective, and empowering and transparent to let these survivors of these crimes be notified, we need a little bit of time to figure out how we're going to do that as a state. So without the voice of those survivors, it would be impossible to create what I think we need is a truly survivor-centered notification procedure. We have to get this right. This is the first step. We need to establish and research best practices, but we need to find out what is the scope of our problem in Minnesota. This bill will do that. It's a critical starting point. It will identify and let us know if we have test kits that are sitting there that have not been tested and why they haven't been tested. And if we find out that we don't have a lot of inventory, it would be best practices for other states to realize that the practices that we are currently using could be a model for other states. So I'm asking for your support on this bill. It's a critical safety measure that's easy to do, that we should be able to do. Please support this bill.
Is there any discussion? Senator Rood.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise in support of this bill, and I commend Senator Jensen for bringing this forward. Many of you know that I'm working on Senate File 880, which is the DNA Saves bill. And when we were working with Katie's mom, Jan Sepich, and Drew's mom, Linda Walker, one of the important pieces to that is this bill. This is the first step. We know that DNA databases solve cold cases. And so this being the first step in progress towards that, I ask you to support this bill. And I also ask you to think of going forward how we can support the DNA Saves bill, because this is one piece of that puzzle into protecting our young women. We are seeing today on campuses all over that there's sexual assault, and that DNA Saves can help that. We can take these people before those assaults happen. So I ask you for the support on this bill, but also to think in the future to support the DNA Saves bill also. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the Secretary will give Senate File 1081 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1081, a bill for an act relating to public safety, accounting for untested sexual assault test kits.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote. All members having voted. Oh. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 58 ayes and zero nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Members, we only have one more bill, so why don't you stay close? It probably won't take too long. The next bill under consideration is number 115 on general orders, Senate file 1147, Senator Latz.
Madam President and members, Senate file 1147 was brought to me as a joint effort of the Minnesota Newspaper Association, the Minnesota State Bar Association, Real Property Section, and the Minnesota Bankers Association to clarify some confusion in the mortgage foreclosure law that has resulted from several recent court decisions. Since the state of Minnesota was a territory, foreclosure notices were required to be published in the local newspaper in the county where the premises of the property were located. While the county reference disappeared from statute somewhere along the line, the statutes annotated continued to refer to publication in the county, as did the legal reference books and, importantly, law firm practice. There have been several recent state and federal lawsuits that have used publication definitions in other sections of Minnesota law to overturn foreclosures, causing confusion as to where the publication of foreclosure notices under Chapter 580 should occur. As a result, there is uncertainty in the statutes and in practice as to where publication should be made in order for foreclosures to be valid. This bill would remove any possibility of a cloud on property titles that result from foreclosure actions. This bill restores in statute what for many decades the law stated and what has been the widespread practice, that publication in a qualified newspaper located in the county where the mortgaged premises are situated is sufficient. Legal aid has also been consulted on the bill language, as far as I'm aware, there is no opposition to the bill. Members, specifically, Section 1 addresses the publication of the notice of sale as sufficient if it occurs in that qualified newspaper with its office in the county where the mortgaged premises are located, and provides an alternative if there's a newspaper that's office is located in the neighboring county if their circulation covers enough of the adjacent county. Section 2 also provides this provision in a curative statute, so it provides certainty and closure when the process is completed. And Section 3 is the effective date. And members, I do have an amendment recommended by council to the effective date and to clarify one technical provision in the bill, and that's the A3 amendment I'd like to offer.
Secretary will report the A3 amendment.
Senator Latz moves to amend Senate file number 1147 as follows, page 1, line 16, and this is the A3 amendment.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? All those in favor of the A3 amendment say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Senator Latz.
I'd appreciate members' support on the bill. Thank you.
Is there any discussion on the bill? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the A4 amendment.
Senator Hall moves to amend Senate file number 1147 as follows, page 1 after line 5, and this is the A4 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President and members. The A4 amendment is really just a basic option that it gives those that are submitting mortgage foreclosures to post it on a county website for the same amount of time, the 6 weeks, that the county and the county must have a site to be able to do that. So it's just an option that these types of notices a lot of times go into newspapers, and the county could save money doing this if they could just put them on their site. Of course, I also would like to amend my amendment. If I could do a verbal amending.
How many words is it? We can try.
About 15.
No. The secretary would prefer that be
okay.
Written.
I won't do that.
Okay.
So let me say this. I know that I've already talked to Senator Latz, and he has a non-controversial bill. By adding my part to this, it becomes controversial. And I understand that because basically this bill is saying that the bigger picture of taxpayers subsidizing the newspapers, for me, is out of line. I think for many taxpayers is out of line, and the newspapers have been subsidized by taxpayers for many years because they charge us to do something, and I understand that, but now with new technology, we have websites all over. This does not have to be in a newspaper. It could be up on a website. Newspapers are a very powerful voice in our community. Newspapers even endorse campaigns, and yet we subsidize the newspapers. In one sense, I'm okay with them endorsing campaigns. But the bigger question is, should we be subsidizing them? So my amendment just starts the question, starts the conversation, although I will say that we've had this conversation many years in my last 5 years here, because someplace I always bring it up because I feel uncomfortable that we are subsidizing newspapers. So with that, I appreciate your vote on the A4 amendment.
Senator Latz.
Madam President and members, with all due respect to Senator Hall, I'm going to ask members to vote no on this amendment. Part of this is because of the process. What we have before us on the underlying bill is a non-controversial consensus bill to clarify the statutes in lieu of some appellate decisions that read the statutes differently than had been widespread, in fact, standard practice in the bar and in the industry. And instead, it does indeed turn it into a controversial bill with a major policy change. We heard this bill in Judiciary Committee, the bill in Judiciary Committee. We did not hear the amendment in Judiciary Committee. We have not had an opportunity to have a thorough discussion in committee on this topic, to have all of the stakeholders be given an opportunity to testify and offer their views as to the impact of this proposed change. Those stakeholders include the Minnesota Association of Counties, who, becoming aware of this amendment, have informed me that they oppose the amendment on the grounds that it would be an unfunded mandate on the counties, since there is no provision in the A4 amendment for them to charge a fee for the use of the public website by private entities, private companies. There would be staff time involved in the posting and maintenance of the website. There would be and some actual costs to that as well. But secondly, the Newspaper Association clearly has an interest in this bill, as it could have the impact of diverting substantial revenues, not just taxpayer dollars, but private dollars that are involved in the foreclosure process as well. I think it's a discussion worth having, but without direct input from the stakeholders, for this to come up the first time this session on the floor, I think would be an inappropriate place to have this discussion now, in all fairness to those parties that have an interest in the outcome of this amendment. And on the merits, I think it raises not only some serious questions, but it raises some doubts as to whether or not the websites would be sufficient to accomplish the purpose of the publication requirement and statute. And those are questions that we really do need to explore. I'm willing to explore those, but this is really not the place to do it. I ask members at this time then to vote no on the A4 amendment.
Senator Kozelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I too rise in opposition to this amendment. Though I do think it needs more work, and we may move that direction in the future, but I really have to focus on my local counties, very rural counties. We don't even have broadband into all of those counties. And so newspapers still are an important way of communicating this information. But I visit with Senator Hall a little bit on this, and I do see the potential for that in the future. But at this point, I just don't think we're ready to move forward.
Senator Newman.
Madam President, I would rise in opposition to the A4 amendment for the following reasons. The purpose of publication in a newspaper is to provide notice to the public and to the individuals who are involved with or in the mortgage foreclosure process. If we are going to take what is, at least in my mind, a fairly drastic change in the policy in Minnesota, publishing the notice via a website versus a newspaper, as we have done since the beginning of statehood, I think that this is something that we should do through the committee process and have a full-blown discussion on whether or not it is a good idea or not. The second reason I oppose the amendment would be on the notion that somehow the taxpayers are subsidizing the newspapers. And in particular here, I would be thinking in terms of the small rural newspapers that are dotted throughout the state of Minnesota and in my district. In point of fact, the cost of the publication is not borne by the taxpayers. It's borne by the parties who are involved in the mortgage foreclosure process. That could be the bank, it could be the owner who redeems the property, or it could be someone who is a third party who steps in and buys the property during the course of the mortgage foreclosure. But those are costs that are assessed to whoever winds up owning the property and does not come out of taxpayer funds. So for those two basic reasons, I would oppose the amendment. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Nenow.
Madam President, my understanding of the purpose of the publication in newspapers is so that the public at large can be informed. Now, most of us just browse through all of these foreclosures, blah, blah, blah. Maybe we look through for some prurient reasons, you know, is my neighbor in there? But most of us really don't pay attention. The fact of the matter is, if you look at this amendment as written, it does not, number one, does not prohibit that notification in the newspaper. The language says in lieu of or in addition to the published notice. Neither does it require the county to do it. There is no mandate. It may, this I'm reading from the amendment, it may be posted on the website of the county if the county maintains a website that provides for the posting of notices. There is no mandate. There's no unfunded mandate. And if we're looking at wanting to provide this to as large an audience as possible, every single person in the state of Minnesota, one way or another, can get access to the internet. Every single one of us. Now, it's a little less convenient for some, especially in rural Minnesota. You might need to drive to your public library. You might need to drive to the local coffee shop that's got some Wi-Fi. You might only have dial-up and not high speed. But we are not talking about intensive multimedia experiences here. We're talking about a text notice on a website. Every single person in the state of Minnesota, if they want, can get access to this. That's not necessarily true for a published notice in a newspaper. Certainly not for free. You got to buy the newspaper in many cases, not all, in many cases. The amendment that we have in front of us, as I understand it, as I've read it, is an option, would be more accessible to more people without an additional cost. And in fact, as I read this, if the counties choose to do it, I don't see anything in here that says they cannot charge to put it on their website. There's nothing that says they have to do it for free. Now, my understanding is there's an amendment coming that will explicitly give them the authority to charge for that. But even as it's written, the language in front of us today, there's nothing that says the county cannot charge to post that on their website. So there's no mandate. It's not an unfunded mandate. It's more publicly accessible, and it's simply a secondary option that would make it available to, in my opinion, more people. I think it's a reasonable proposal. I do agree with Senator Hall and the author of the bill. It will make it a little more controversial because, quite frankly, the newspapers will not like it because it will reduce some amount of their revenue. I don't know that it would be dramatic, but it would be some reduction in their revenue for the classified advertisement section. That is absolutely true. I acknowledge that, but I think this would be good in general for the public in Minnesota.
Senator Dames.
Thank you, Madam President. I do rise with some concerns on this amendment. Many of our rural counties organize the first meeting of the year, and one of the things they do is they choose and designate a county newspaper that all the publishing will be put into, all of the informational things will be published in that newspaper. And as Senator Gazilka alluded to, many of our parts of our rural counties don't have access to some of these websites or some of the broadband stuff. So the folks in the counties have come used to knowing which newspaper carries all the informational stuff, and sometimes without that access, it's going to put people in a position where they're not going to have an option to get that information. So that is a concern I have.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I'd like to submit the A50 amendment. I can't imagine we have 50.
Do you repeat the number again, please?
Well, this says A50, but I'm not that.
Senator Hall, is this an amendment to your amendment?
Yes.
Or it's
yeah.
an amendment to your amendment?
Yes, it would be.
It's not drafted that way. It's drafted as a separate amendment, so you need to withdraw the A4 and then resubmit an amendment.
Okay. I'd like to withdraw the A4 amendment.
The A4 amendment is withdrawn. Then we have before us, then the Secretary will report the A50 amendment.
Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Hall moves to amend Senate file number 1147 as follows, page 1 after line 5, and this is the A50 amendment.
Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President and members. All this amendment does is add on the end of the line which says the amount of the fee must be set by the county to recover the value of the service. So there takes on the funding aspect. I want to make sure the counties were not subject to the funding themselves. Members, we've had a couple comments from friends of mine that talk about this is a public notice, a notice to the public. And my question right now is how many people don't receive a newspaper even right now? We talk about people not having web access. Of course, they can have access if they go to their local libraries. Many of them have. But many of them don't read the newspaper or get a newspaper now. And I don't think we're mandating in any way for people to have to receive a newspaper. Subsidizing, the reason I use subsidizing is what we're really doing is mandating that the purchaser buy from a certain group of people. The press. And I think as a government, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be giving options out there as long as they're good options. And I think web sites, county websites, which I think a lot of people look at, would be a good option. So I'd appreciate your vote on this, the A50 amendment.
Is there any more discussion on the A50 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A50 amendment?
Could I ask for a roll call vote?
Roll call has been requested. Roll call granted. Seeing no further discussion, the Secretary will take the roll on the A50 amendment.
Don't worry, Dan.
His seatmate. All members having voted that desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being two ayes and 54 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Now we have before us the last bill, Senate File 1147. Is there any more discussion on Senate File 1147? The Secretary will give Senate File 1147 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1147, a bill for an act relating to real property, clarifying the mortgage foreclosure by advertisement publication requirements.
Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted that desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Bach, are there any announcements? Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senators Cohen, Reinert, Wicklund, Brown, Peterson, Jay, Chamberlain, Alday, Pratt, 11 to 11:25, Saxhog, 11:25 to 11:30, Rosen, 11:25 to the end of session, Ortman, Alday, Westrom, Alday. Senator Bach.
Madam President, the Rules Committee will meet immediately following session in room 112. And members, I move the Senate do not adjourn until Thursday, April 16th, 11 a.m.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.